Welcome to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Remy Motti. Pastor Kyle Horner couldn't be with us this week. He had to take care of some important business. Our guest is going to be one of baseball's best pure hitters, Daniel Murphy. And our topic, we're going to follow up to our previous episode where we talked about squad goals. And we discussed our relationships with friends, whether they are believers, non-believers, and how important it is to really surround ourselves with people who are uplifting us, encouraging us, and people who can just hold us accountable and can speak into our lives, and we can influence positively, not negatively, and back and forth. Well, now we're going to get into relationships with our significant other.
Yay.
So if you're married, if you're engaged, if you're dating someone special, or if you're thinking about it at some point in your life and you want to have that relationship, listen up. We got you, because, babe, we need to talk.
Yes, we do need to talk.
We need to talk. Doug, yes. When you hear we need to talk,
what
right?
do you think?
Trouble, your heart jumps
right?
a little bit. You Trouble. Get a little little flutter in your stomach, and it's not like encouraging.
It's never a feeling that like what's going down? Something about to happen.
Something's
here.
I actually
control.
Have one right now, and I kind of wish Kyle was here. Like I feel you know it's yeah, you know it, as you guys are talking, I'm kind of like I'm like uh-oh, I need a buddy. I'm the third wheel right now. Like here we go.
It's about to go down. It's always going down.
We need to talk. Sounds scary. It really does, because most of the time when someone's in a relationship and someone says one of the parties in the relationship says we need to talk, something is going to go down.
It's always the woman, though.
But most of the time. Yeah. but I believe that we can, and I think you and I can talk on this, because for the most part, we have a pretty awesome relationship. For the most part, yeah. you know, there's some bumps in a road. But I believe the key to a strong relationship is talking. Communication is essential, and we have to be in constant communication, especially if there's something in our relationship that we're not happy about. You can't really hide it and allow it to grow into something that it becomes bigger and bigger and worse. And it's really best to tackle it right away and deal with it, because if you don't, resentment builds and it festers and things can get ugly quickly if you don't talk about it, if you don't communicate. Now, I said communication is the key to a strong relationship.
Yeah.
But that's not number one. I think for me, first and foremost, having a relationship, not with my wife, but with Jesus Christ, is the key to everything. It's the key to everything. That's what allows my relationship with my wife and everyone else in my life to develop in a healthy way. So having a relationship with Christ means that Christ is in everything. He's in every aspect of my life, and that includes our relationship. So yes. If Christ is in it, when we have disagreements, when we have issues, we know that he's the center and he's the foundation, and that allows us to deal with whatever issues we're having and not let them escalate quickly or let them fester and then at some point explode.
I agree. I always say it takes three people to really rock a marriage. And it's not a third person per se, but it's Jesus. It's you, your husband, and Jesus. Because if it's only the two of you, I'm sorry, but you're bound to fail. At some point, you're bound to fail. And I'm not saying if you're not Christian, if you're not Christian, you're not going to make it. Maybe you would. I'm not sure. But in my opinion, it takes three people. It takes you, me, and Jesus to make this really what he designed it to be, a perfect marriage, a perfect union, something that will not just be a family, but will be a unit that will bring other people to Christ through that unit, through that union. And in my opinion, too, like, as you said, communication is key. But you first have to communicate with God first. You have to pray. You have to be in the words. You have to actually be one-on-one. Your relationship has to be one-on-one with Jesus. You have to talk to him. You have to seek him. You have to make sure that, hey, you know, I'm checking in today. I'm checking in right now. Let's just see what this is going. And then you also have to talk to your husband about what's going on. Like, communication is a three-way, and it's not just a two-way thing. And you also have to check with yourself. Like, I have to talk to myself sometimes. And I know that sounds really crazy. But for a woman, you have to really, really see what's going on with you. Because we have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of components. We don't just have the outside. We
Y'all
have the inside.
Crazy.
No, but seriously, we have hormones. Y'all are crazy sometimes. Let me tell you, hormones are flying, and when hormones are flying, you gotta watch out, okay? You're gonna get that let's talk, okay? Because when hormones are going crazy, you have to adapt.
We can't speak on hormones.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to get better at recognizing when they're happening.
Right.
Right? You know, like then you say, okay, that's essential.
And you know how annoying it is for a woman to say, by the way, I'm crazy today, because that gets us even more crazy, because you're like, you need to be with it already. You need to know what's going on. Like, if I'm acting weird, mm-hmm. you need to recognize what's going on. So there are signs and symptoms of everything. Mm-hmm. So why can't men just recognize the symptoms of what's happening with a woman before going crazy?
But we're talking about communication here. So communicate that. But it gets us even more irritated.
And Doug's
saying he wants to recognize it, but if communication is essential, well, then it would be communicated to you, or it would be communicated to me. Tell you, like, hey,
by the way, this is what's happening. That's annoying.
Like, hey, it's a certain time.
It does help. It does help. And
it's not easy, man.
I'll tell you this, a little transparency, that Chris and I had got some counseling at about 10 years of marriage. And this summer will be 18. We've been married 18 years. Yeah,
seriously?
Believe it or not. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so we're getting to, you, course, God bless her. She's wow. No, you're absolutely right.
We're going to be at right. 7, so we're nowhere near you guys.
Yeah. So I think everybody should get a little bit of counseling, or a little bit, you know, we do pre-marriage counseling.
Yeah.
Right? People don't understand what you're getting into at that point. I think anywhere between 7 and 10.
We did counseling. Marriage boot camp. We did it very publicly.
I mean, we were playing roles on TV, but we did counseling.
So you're talking about real counseling.
So yeah,
although that is a real, it is a marriage boot camp is a real thing that they do. It was just
a TV show.
I think there's a marriage counseling pre-marriage that can prep you for you know, give you some insight. But then there's also, hey, we've been married.
Classes they call them in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but about 7 to 10 years, I think everybody needs kind of like a redo, kind of like a mid-semester test, you know, an exam to kind of get your status. So one of the things that Chris and I were going through was that we actually communicated very well.
Good.
So we met with Pastor Phil, who, if you followed our show from season one, helped start the show. But we met with Phil, and he says, you know, we're terrible communicating. We have such an awful time. He goes, you guys don't have any problem communicating. You can communicate perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's what you're communicating is the problem.
Uh-oh.
And so we would push each other's buttons.
Your
therapy session is in progress here.
Oh, Doug.
So I would know exactly.
Who's the bigger culprit?
Yeah.
It goes both sides. Okay. And I think that's the one thing.
I thought it might be you, but...
Trust me, I had plenty. Chris seems like such a sweetheart and a saint.
I had plenty of responsibility in that.
Okay. But it was a matter of saying, if I did something that made her upset, then she let me know about it. But then I would be like, well, why are you getting upset? You know, it would just go back and forth. And we would just push each other's buttons. And we communicated that we were unhappy. We communicated that we were angry. We communicated that I don't like what's going on at this time. And since I don't like that, I don't deserve that, so I'm going to make your life miserable.
Right.
Right?
You're good at that.
But did you communicate resolutions?
Well,
you were communicating what the issue was, but not how we can fix it.
We did it the wrong way, right? So I could say that I don't really like what's going on, but I can communicate that in love and a much better way than getting silent, getting grumpy, giving her the cold shoulder. Mm-hmm. So that's all communication.
Do you do the silent treatment? Because that's my specialty. I'm so good at it.
We found out that the silent treatment was wrong. Yeah.
But I'm just saying.
No, it's wrong.
You haven't done it in several months.
I have not.
But it's definitely not good. We're talking about communication. You're talking about silent treatment.
No, I'm asking.
It's communicating the wrong way. Yeah, it's communicating.
No, I used to do that. I don't do it anymore.
So what was really great,
and
even as we communicate about forgiveness and saying that I'm sorry, right? There's a lot of things of how we accept that and how we tell other people. So there's a blueprint. I mean, the blueprint's the Bible, right?
Yeah,
so as you talk about bringing Christ into the situation, one of my favorite verses, and this has only been my favorite verse for maybe a couple weeks, but it's been so applicable to my life at
this time. Isn't it cool how you have a different favorite Bible verse for whatever's happening in your life at that
time?
It's like, this is what I need right now. This is what I need right now in my life. And it's Philippians 4:9. And Philippians 4 is just a passage that has been speaking to me a lot over the last couple weeks. But Philippians 4:9 in particular, it's what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. You know,
I
and
like I like it.
You know, this week was a big anniversary for the Allen Iverson practice ran, right?
Wow.
Sports Center, everybody's putting
wow.
that out there that it was
been oh, it's 17
it's,
years
it's been a long time, but they're kind of, you know, Philadelphia yeah. has been celebrating the anniversary yeah. of the practice,
yeah,
right? You know, we're talking about practice, but when I think of myself as a father mm-hmm. and I think of myself as a husband, if I didn't have the blueprint to follow and I tried to do it my way, Remy,
yeah.
kind of going off of what you were just saying, if I
yeah.
did it my way,
yeah.
I would be doomed to fail.
Yeah.
You know, I always thought that running up the stairs saying, don't make me come up there. If I come up there,
right.
you're in trouble, right?
That don't work, like, does it?
It's no, it's, not and a, it's you're provoking
it's
your
awful,
kids
yeah.
and it's
yeah.
it's not a
yeah.
good thing. So we think that that's okay because that may be a cool thing to do or this
power struggle
that
yeah.
we may have.
Yeah.
But nobody responds to that. You know,
it's fear because you're responding out of fear, and nobody wants to respond out of fear. Everybody wants
yeah.
to respond out of love. Like
yeah.
that, I mean, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't know if you want to say
no,
something else.
No, I mean, it's the heart of the condition, right? You have to attack the heart of the condition, not just trying to get a behavior from your wife or from
yeah.
your
yeah.
kids or from friends. So if you attack the heart of it, you communicate well to be able to get at the root of the problem.
Yeah.
Quick shout out to my brother who used the Allen Iverson practice speech
oh my gosh,
as
funny.
Our best man speech,
he
basically was saying you have to practice in a relationship. At the time, Remy didn't get it. Now she had to go back and watch.
I had no idea what he said. But I was like, what?
If we're going to get real and be honest, so today
oh,
before
yeah.
this show,
today,
we had a major
yes.
issue in that. So I like to surprise my wife after dropping off the kids at school while she's getting ready to come do the show with her favorite coffee beverage.
Yes.
Well, I bring it home, and she had already made one, so she puts what I bought her in the refrigerator, which is all well and good, so she could drink it on the drive here and drink it in the studio. I then open the refrigerator. Unbeknownst to me, I spilled it all over the refrigerator, in the watermelon, on the strawberries,
everywhere.
On this, on that. But so we handled it pretty well. We cleaned it together.
Well,
but now we're running a little bit late. But she also wants a replacement.
I wanted a coffee.
Had to get her a replacement, right? Because I spilled hers. So we were running a little bit behind because it took 22 minutes in line at the establishment where I bought her the coffee.
20 minutes to clean it.
22 minutes. No, it took about 4 minutes to clean it. So it took 22 minutes there. So here's where the communication went very well, because I'm communicating with her via text message in my 22 wait in line because she's in the car, and she's apologizing for asking for another one and telling me, come on, let's just go. I'm like, no, I'm in line now. I'm gonna wait it out.
See,
like, how long could it possibly be? By the way, they gave it to me for free because they're that nice, and they're like, oh,
they're awesome in there. I love them.
So shout out to Danielle.
Yeah, she's
amazing. But then I get in the car, and I can't let it go. See, I can't let it go, dog.
He does not let it go.
I'm like just like fuming.
He was fuming.
And
he
to
really
your
was.
Credit, you allowed me to communicate my displeasure with
yes.
the entire situation.
Yes.
Okay.
And rather than be angry, upset, you just apologized again. And like, what can I do when I'm upset, right? And I'm bothered and I'm irritated. And she's sitting there like, I'm sorry. I love you. You look great today. I'm like,
defuse the situation. That's good communication.
And like, I gotta be honest. Like, I don't know if you could have done that maybe a year ago or 2 years ago.
No. My ego was not. No. Once my ego's bruised, it's done. Like a year ago, that was not me. I am such a different person now. Like I put my ego to the side. That's a whole different thing too. When it comes to communication, you have to put your ego to the side when you're
yeah.
in a relationship. You have to actually see your partner as your literally your other half, not just a person. He is your half. So I can't be that mad at my half. I can't be that upset at my half. I can't be that disappointed. It's me. How am I supposed to be that angry at me? You know, I can just let it go. I can just be like, it's just not my ego. It's me. He is me and I am him. So we have to communicate in such a way that we just let go of things that even bruise our ego. That the things that really hurt us, that disappoint us, you can just say, it's okay.
And you know I don't mean it. Mistakes. Like, I'm just going off. I'm going so off because I'm just irritated.
Yeah, he was. You were very sweet about it. You got me a coffee, and I even asked for it, and I was very sweet. And then, yeah, you spilled it. I mean, that's just weird. But he was getting his milk from the back of the fridge, which I still don't know how he knocked down the coffee. But anyways.
But see, that's where the problem comes, is when, like, certain things, you're like, why do you always put the milk in the back of the fridge?
It was
and, like,
my
there's
fault,
certain
actually.
Things that start to irritate you.
Right.
Then it's not even
so
a matter
annoying.
Of, like, spilling the coffee.
Right.
It's like, I just hate that you always do that.
Yeah.
Which, and you know, it's all
fault.
Of these past
that
things
funny?
That start
right.
coming
like,
back.
I hate how you don't flush the toilet, right? You know, that kind of thing.
Dude,
if that,
I flushed
if that
the
happens
toilet.
In a relationship,
oh my God.
We're not going to go there.
I wasn't going to try. I wasn't going to call you out on that.
That was, oh my goodness. But we're going there right now.
But the key here, as far as this communication and what you said, is putting your ego aside and, like, recognizing, like, I don't think a year ago, maybe it would have been handled differently. But now, what's transpired is, like, you are so deep in the Word. You are so deep in reading books and reading the Bible and listening to sermons and studying. Like, you have been transformed. We talked about this. When did we talk about this? A couple of weeks ago. Being transformed by the renewal of your mind in one of the episodes that we did.
That
like, I could see that happening. And that's what allows you, and that's why I come back to, when I say communication is the key.
Yes.
Communication is the key in a relationship. Yes, that's key. That's essential. But having that relationship with Jesus Christ first and foremost, having that relationship with Christ allows you, having a Christ-centered marriage, a Christ-centered heart, a Christ-centered family, is what allows us to be able to diffuse situations or not let them escalate. Then communicate properly and not let anything get too big for our marriage.
You know what I know in the past year? This is exactly how this transformation happened. I learned something about myself from reading and all that, is every time God puts you in a situation that made you angry or upset, He's actually putting a magnifier glass in front of your face to show you exactly how ugly that part of you is. And He's trying to tell you, by the way, this happened so you can see how ugly your reaction was and that you need to fix that. So every time this happens, don't blame the other person. Just look at yourself in the mirror and say, oh, that was so ugly. Oh, that my reaction was so terrible. Imagine if that was me and I was getting that reaction from my husband. That would have been so annoying and so, like, I would have hated that reaction. So you have to actually examine everything. So that's, by the way, your reaction was not the best.
Well, now you make me feel even worse about it. It's not about winning. Speak on that. That's key.
As you guys were talking about that, when you say what was different this year than last year, it's not a matter of saying, hey, I don't need to win this argument, right? I'm just going to kind of diffuse the argument. And that's winning, right? I think we define winning a little bit different,
that
too.
That is true.
But that was always a problem that, you guys have met my wife. I don't know if you know her real well.
She's pretty competitive as a former athlete.
Two-sport college athlete. You know,
right.
She's competitive. I'm competitive, right? So it was always a matter of trying to win. And you know what the thing is?
Come on, Dougie.
That's
what, you don't
cool,
think
man.
I'm competitive?
No, I know you're competitive.
But... you shouldn't win that.
But it's a matter of, like, you think you're winning, but you're actually losing. You're
That's
actually
right. yeah.
creating disunity, and you're ruining your team. You know, and it's just as you go through that.
It's a unit.
You know, we talked about squad goals last week. You know, as this is a continuation from last week's episode. You know, what are your marriage goals? Like, what do you want to achieve through this? And if it's unity, if it's good communication, then you have to be transparent and put the ego aside.
Right.
You know, and that's what it really gets down to. Yeah. So remember, you talk about being a mirror, and that's an important thing. How you present something.
Yeah.
To a husband or wife, right? So we'll use you guys as an example, right? Right. If Remy, if you say something to Rob, if you say it in a loving way, he could be receptive to it. If you say it in a hurtful, bad timing way, right? Then he may be, you know, why are you saying that? Well, you know, why are you cutting me down, right?
Yeah.
It's all about how we deliver it and how we can take it. And I think when you're both on the same page, it gets delivered well and it gets accepted really well also.
I think women are the key a successful marriage or any successful relationship. Sometimes people think it's a 50-50, and it is sometimes 50-50, but I really believe women have a massive key that they don't necessarily use a lot, but it's just their gentleness and how God made us so gentle and so motherly that we can diffuse anything and we can make anything so much better by just being gentle and being who God made us to be, just women. We hold an incredible amount of power within us that even Jesus chose a woman to come to this earth. Like, he chose a woman because of her gentleness, of how motherly she is, of how she can change the world, really, because of how she is so amazing in every single way. And I can just look at my husband.
Talking about Mary. Yeah. God choosing Mary that's what I'm saying. To be like, the mother of
Jesus. But, you know, they also
Jesus.
Call it a mama bear, too.
Yeah.
Right? You
yeah.
know, like, women can form women. All sorts of roles, right? They
yes.
could get,
yeah.
They could be the one that's going to, you know, it's not the father bear that's going to take care of the cubs
no,
that you have to be afraid of in the wild. It's going to be the mama
the
bear that's going to come after you, too.
I mean, we're fighters, man.
I mean, you always hear happy wife, happy life. And I hate that saying, like, happy wife, happy life.
But it actually is true.
It's so true because, mm-hmm. like, if your wife is happy and she's if everything is she's the glue in the family,
she's
in the house,
the glue.
You know, it's especially it depends on the dynamics of each household. Like
yeah.
you and I both have Chris stays home mm-hmm. with the children mm-hmm. and Remy's home with the kids and we're out working. Both of us do a lot of different things. They're the fabric. They're the glue of that house.
We're a gorilla glue, man.
If you guys are holding it down together at yeah. home, sometimes we're going to come home like I'm going to be so out of it because I'm doing this and running here, right. running out there. And like, I can't even sit down and like have a meaningful conversation with the kids about school. I'm just like, I just want to hug them and kiss them and just like whatever. And you guys are really holding it together. So
yeah.
in that regard, yeah, but the foundation too, also, I believe is recognizing when one of you messes up. Or one of you says something wrong, and you mentioned it how like you don't want to go off and have somebody, you don't want to say anything where you regret it later.
Yeah.
And I think that's so essential to understand, like, how can I react to this situation?
Yeah.
What am I going to do in this situation? Am I going to react like a wild and crazy person and just go off and be upset and be angry? And then am I going to hold my – we got to hold ourselves accountable too.
Yeah.
We got to be able to look – you got to be able to look in the mirror and be happy with who you are, what you said, what you did. And are you setting – and this is like of the utmost importance I feel too. Doug, both of us have a lot of girls in the house. You have five. Mm-hmm. I have two. So it's okay. important to – no, children.
Children, okay.
It's important to set that example for them. So like I always try and go out of my way to make sure that I'm not communicating any anger towards my wife in front of the children. So if we are going to have a disagreement and we are going to communicate about it and we're going to do that privately so as to where – like, my kids are sensitive. If we even raise our voice in a not – like, if we're not even arguing, but, like, say I'm watching a game and I raise my voice, like, they might think I'm getting upset about something.
Right,
and I'm like,
so
no, it's
yeah.
like Joel Embiid just did something stupid or Ben Simmons did this or that guy did that or the referee made this call. And whatever it is you're watching, you're going – you're reacting to, and they're like, Daddy, you upset? No, I'm really not. I'm just, you know, commenting.
Right.
So I think it's really important for us – as men, as fathers, to set that example, communicate with our wives, but how we do it, especially in front of our audience.
Yeah, and I think even when you do mess up, because guaranteed I do it all the time, right, where I will raise my voice or I will act selfishly or I'll be impatient with things,
yeah.
Even with my wife in yeah. front of my kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's be real, right? Like it's coming home and being
perfect.
Frustrated.
No,
absolutely.
Happens,
but I
yeah.
think the one thing is to recognize, not only to apologize to my wife afterwards, but to maybe apologize to my wife in front of my kids.
Yeah.
Or to say to my kids, because they're old enough now. I mean, I have a high schooler. I have a sixth grader to where they're like, you guys all
right?
Like, they're,
right.
You know,
she's like,
they're not
yeah,
able to get upset. They're like,
do you
okay.
need us to mediate?
Yeah. They're looking at it, they're like, you guys are crazy. Like,
yeah.
what are you guys even fighting about, right? But to turn around and say, you know what? Like, I could have handled that differently. And just
right.
be transparent. I think that's the big thing, too,
yeah.
is just letting that
yeah.
ego down,
right.
not trying to win the conversation,
right.
but also apologizing to your kids or to, listen, sometimes you're doing it in front of other people, too, right?
Right.
Like, maybe you're out on a dinner date, you're hanging out, or your friends, and like, you know, you have a little argument.
Yeah.
Maybe you say, guys, yeah, I'm sorry that we didn't get along there or we had
right.
some issues. But I think one of the main things that help in communication and not getting to that point where you lose it
mm-hmm. yeah.
is talking about the small issues that build up over a period of time.
Right.
And we really use the analogy where you build a wall up.
Yeah.
And when you start to build that wall up, the loving things don't go through because there's so much trash built up, right? And remember, we did an episode a couple weeks ago where you said take out the trash and, and get rid of all that stuff. Yes. Sometimes we need to do that in marriage where we unload in a loving way at a good time, just saying, hey, I'm just really frustrated with some of these things. For me, sometimes it's leaving my shoes right by the bed and my wife kicks them when she's making
the
bed.
Or not making the bed. Oh.
It's like, you know, it's not even that, but it's kicking my shoes and it's stubbing a toe and it's like, it's just
so
like,
tripping over.
But then it goes into when then my bag's on the table and this is there. And it's so many other cumulative things that become more frustrating. But what I found also is if you care about me and if you love me, please take away these irritations. You know, be a little like, I'm kind of fine with my shoes on the floor. I'm fine with my bag on the table, right? It doesn't bother me, but for her, it's being home all day with the kids. It's infuriating, right? Because it feels like she's living in clutter or she's living in a mess.
Right. Yeah.
And so one way I can love my wife better is making sure my stuff's cleaned up. Even if it doesn't bother me, like I'm good with it, but it's not about me. It's a matter of my team.
Yes.
And trying to make things better. So
yeah,
I'm going to lead you right into something else here, Remy.
It's being vulnerable. Because it has to do with ego as well, but being vulnerable is a big one in marriage. Because sometimes you feel like, no, I don't want to look weak. I don't want to sound weak, so I'm not going to tell him exactly what I'm being angry about. I'm just going to be angry and just mirror something completely different. I'm going to get angry at you for saying something that has nothing to do with why I'm angry, because I'm angry because I'm tired, or I'm angry because something else happened with the kids that I can't necessarily say to you because it happened like 5 hours ago. It doesn't make sense anymore, but I have to unload this on someone, and I can't unload it on my kids, so I have to unload it on you. So when you leave the dish in the sink, and I just cleaned it, I'm going to unload on you.
I don't use the
because
dishwasher.
Of the dish.
I'd rather wash them.
This is what I'm saying, though. It has nothing to do with the dish. It has everything to do with me unloading something that happened 5 hours ago. And I have to be vulnerable enough to say to you, by the way, this happened, and I'm really upset about it, and I have to say something about it. But you're kind of like tired and annoyed, too, because you just came home from work, and it doesn't make sense to even tell you this stuff.
But see, that's hilarious, because you're talking about I'm unloading and I'm having these dishes right here, and Rob's like, I don't even like the dishwasher.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
He's like, I don't even know what the big deal is. I could care less about the dishwasher.
I'd rather wash them myself,
one person's thinking about the dish. The other one's talking about life issues, and they're like, let's just clean the dishes.
Let's just get the dishes over. But it's like what you were saying about the wall, and I like to think of the wall as like – Each transgression or each thing that irritates the other person is a little picket fence. Like, so take it as a picket fence, and you get a little piece and you put it on, and then you get another, something else bothers you, and you put it on.
Yep.
And now you don't talk about it. And then you keep putting every offense, you keep putting it on this wall, right?
Yeah,
so now this wall, if you don't talk about them as they occur, if you don't talk about each separate offense, and the wall gets built higher and higher and higher, now you can't turn around anymore. Now you're like, well, she doesn't love me anymore. Mm. He doesn't love me anymore. And well, it's not that you don't love each other anymore, but it's like you allowed this wall to get higher and higher and higher, and now you can't get through it. Like you have to tear this down with a bulldozer, and you have to rework your entire marriage, where if you would take the time. And it's difficult. I know it's difficult in our daily lives. Like you just said about the dishwasher and the dish and
not
the kids
anything,
and me coming home. And maybe you don't want to bring it up that day. Yeah. But bring it up at some point. That's the key. Like you have to bring it up at some point.
But it takes it takes us back to communication, where you have to come home and say, hey,
how was your day? How was your day? That's the key thing, Dougie.
It brings us back to that. You know what I mean?
How was your day?
And I'll tell you some other things. There's other things that aren't just about the marriage that play into it. It's a matter of worrying about your job or your career or your future or dealing with pain. And, you know, having lost Luke, and then a year later, my wife loses her mom.
Yeah.
And dealing with tragedy and loss and saying, I'm not getting sleep at night. I'm having awful dreams. I'm feeling a little depressed, right?
Yeah.
And trying to be mom to all of our kids and a wife to me when she's still hurting inside and not getting enough sleep and feeling stressed and feeling just not herself, not at her best.
Yeah.
And then it's not a matter of I can't be what I want to you like, don't expect me to be that, right? And so the more she communicates, I'm kind of like, okay, I get it. Like, you're having a bad day. You're having, you know, it's an anniversary or, you know, of something that we thought of. And, like, that's a miserable day. That actually makes me really think about the people we see on the street, on the road,
you never know.
Somebody just kind of shows anger to you just when you're walking around or is rude to you in an elevator or something. Like, what are they thinking inside? And, like, they kind of take it out on you.
Yeah, what's going on in their lives?
What's going on? And I'm really more sensitive to that with the people that are around, like, are they just a mean person and they have an attitude or are they hurting? Are they really hurting inside?
Yeah.
You know, and
we're all hurting.
You try and give everybody the benefit of doubt. Like, like, you try and think when somebody's being mean or somebody being a jerk or somebody's like, maybe they lost someone that day. Maybe they lost their job. Like, I don't know what's going on, but it's hard. We're human, right? Our human reaction is always going to be like to be offended, to get defensive. Whereas and in those cases, you don't have a relationship with whoever that person is, and you may not be able to communicate what's going on, like, why are you upset, or whoever, you just saw this person randomly cut you off, or whatever's happening, and they're reacting angrily. But
it's about your perception of what's going on around you.
It is. I mean, to wrap it all up, communicating is so essential, but communicating with Jesus Christ. Communicating with the Lord. Like, people sometimes, Doug, we talk about relationship so often. We talk about relationship with Christ, and people are like, what do you mean by relationship? And I say, like, it's all day long, constant communication with the Lord all day long. Never letting up. Because you need that. If I'm not talking to you, or if I'm not doing something, or if I'm not at work, or whenever I'm in my alone time or in my downtime, I never feel alone, because I feel like I'm always in a conversation with the Lord. So I'm building up my relationship with Him, so I can build up my relationship with you, so I can build up and develop a healthy relationship with everyone else.
The problem is, when you're talking about building that wall, we can sense it between a husband and a wife, right? Mm-hmm. I could feel it with my wife that there's a division, that there's we're not together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we also do that with sin. We do that with sin, and it ruins our relationship with Christ, and it builds a wall between us and Him until we actually go and ask for forgiveness. So, Robin, you're saying, hey, I feel alone. I don't feel like Christ is close. Christ is there. Christ is waiting for you.
Right.
But the problem is that we're indulging in other things that are creating a barrier or a distance between us and Christ. And we need to mend that relationship, just like we need to apologize to our wife, or be open being there. So just be careful about the sin in our relationship with God, which then may affect our relationship with our wives also.
Right.
That's great, because we're going to hear Daniel Murphy talk about that next. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Cairn University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Cairn prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Cairn.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Doug, and Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes, Doug, tell them how to catch up.
You got to check out faithonthefieldshow.com. You'll get all of our past episodes from season 1, 2, and our current season of number 3. Find all Rob's blogs, his weekly thoughts. Also, subscribe to our email list, where you'll get that delivered to your inbox on a weekly basis, and follow us on all social media platforms.
Download on iTunes, subscribe, tell
a
friend, leave a review, share, get it out there. Everybody tells me how much they love the show. Tell somebody. Tell somebody. I also post all my speaking appearances if you want to come out live and hear a message. Last week, I had the honor of hosting Carson Wentz's AO1 Foundation Philly Gala. It was a great night. They raised money for one of the foundation's ministries, Thy Kingdom Crumb, which is the mobile food truck that was formed in partnership with Pastor Kyle's Connect Church. Also spoke to a men's group at First Presbyterian Church in Blackwood. That was my second time there, so I want to thank Pastor Maurice Youssef for the invitation. Pastor Maurice married Remy and I, and we just absolutely love his family.
He's awesome.
Yeah, they're great people. And it was so encouraging to be there and speak to them. Another one of those mornings, man, where I was like, the next day I got to do radio, and then I got a Sixers game. I don't feel like getting up. You know, I don't feel like getting up. And then you get there, and then you see the guys are so receptive and so welcoming and so encouraging. And it's like, yeah, this is what it's all about. You know, this is what it's all about. And this past week I had a meeting with a pastor who asked me to lead. He's talking to me about leading a revival at his church next May. And like, I was just so humbled by that. Like, what an incredible honor. And I don't know how this is going to develop. We still got a whole year to plan it out. But just to be able to do stuff like that, man, this is what it's all about, Doug. This is why, you know, we got in this to be able to impact people in as many ways possible. You have an event coming up that you're going to speak at. You're going back home.
You're going
back home and speaking to your people, right?
Yeah, Haddon Heights, New Jersey is where I grew up. And my parents go to church there, Joy Community Fellowship in Haddon Heights. They do a freedom celebration with partnered with some other churches in the area. Kevin Harvey, who is the chaplain for the Sixers, who was on a previous episode.
About 3 weeks ago,
a couple weeks ago. So they are honoring coaches in the in the South Jersey area, two from Audubon High School and one from Haddon Heights High School.
Very nice.
And just doing an outside freedom celebration over Memorial Day weekend. And they asked me to come back and give a little talk to honor coaches.
It's always good to go home, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never done that before, so I could teach classes and do all those, but this is, everybody out there pray for me. God will use it, so it's pretty awesome.
You got this. I have no doubt. Daniel Murphy was a three-time All-Star second baseman for the New York Mets and Washington Nationals. He is now in his first season with the Colorado Rockies. He's playing first base this year. Daniel, he really burst on the scene. He came up as a young hitter who had a lot of potential. And then in the 2015 postseason, his last year with the Mets going into his free agency year, he hit 7 home runs, in the NLDS and the NLCS when they reached the World Series. He had a homer in 6 straight games at one point, which is a major league postseason record. I chatted with him for my book, Baseball Faith, and I wanted to use this interview for this topic that we're discussing today. And here is part of our conversation with Daniel Murphy.
Daniel, tell me why Romans 10:9 is such a significant Bible verse for you.
Jesus has already done all the work. And that's the gospel. Like, he died the debt that I deserved. And to me, that's the gospel. He's already, the work is finished. We have peace and joy through him, through his sacrifice. And now we get to enjoy him because of the sacrifice, that he's made for us. The perfect blood that he shed for my sins. Now I have peace and I get to enjoy him in my surrender to his will in my life and my own life.
Tell me how that peace and that joy that you're talking about comes from having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
So my relationship with him is as strong or as weak as I want it to be, however much I, because Jesus never moves. I'm always the one who decides how strong the relationship's going to be. He is constant. He is steadfast. And so it's the same way when I want to get to know my wife, I speak with my wife. I get to know my wife. I try to understand her characteristics. When I want to get to know and understand Jesus more, then I go to his living word, the Bible, and I learn about him, and I learn his characteristics. And so, it's not a list of do's and don'ts, because I can't keep them. So he paid the work. Jesus, it's cool in that moment where, I think in each one of our lives where we feel like helpless, like I can't do anything, like I don't have no control of the situation. Jesus is like perfect because I already paid for that. I control that.
We're imperfect human beings. We're going to fail. We're going to succeed. We're going to do well, do not. And he's always there for us. He's always there for us. Man, I appreciate you doing this for me.
No problem.
And that was Daniel Murphy, first baseman for the Colorado Rockies. We're going to talk about his interview next on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Doug, and Remy. We just heard Daniel Murphy talk about Romans 10:9, which at that time he said was his favorite Bible verse because it really sums up the gospel. And Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that really is the gospel message summed up right there in Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, salvation, you think about it, and it's really a simple process that can be achieved with our own mouth and our heart. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do anything to get there on our own. And as Daniel Murphy said in that interview, Jesus already did it for us. He paid the price. Jesus did all the work, and we get to have joy and peace through him if we truly believe in our heart that he is the risen Lord and confess it with our mouth. But see, the key thing is it has to be genuine. Mm-hmm. You can't just be saying it. Genuine, you have to really believe it. It has to be genuine faith that Jesus is the true and living Lord, and that genuine faith will transform the way we live. But that transformation comes through accepting Christ. That transformation does not come from anything else that we do that we consider to be a moral human being. That's apart from having faith in Christ. And I do have to say this, the part like where confess with your mouth. Now, some people out there might be like, well, what if you literally can't speak out loud? Like maybe, you know, you have a condition.
Yeah.
And you can't, you're mute. You can't speak. Does that mean you can't achieve salvation? Paul's saying here, confess with your mouth is a way to emphasize the importance of telling others that Jesus is Lord and being willing to share the good news. And when you have this news, when you know what this is for salvation, like you want to shout it from the rooftops. You want to be standing up there and talking about it. So I think, you know, oftentimes there's some confusion and we talk about like, what are the steps to salvation and how do we achieve it? And we've talked about this so often since this show started, guys, that it's not about what we can do. It's not about us earning it. It's not about anything. We're not, as Pastor Kyle often says, like, we'll never be good enough. We'll never be good enough. It's about what Jesus did for us. He paid the price on that cross. And if we truly, genuinely believe it, then we can also reach salvation. We can have salvation. We can achieve salvation. Another point that Daniel made in that conversation that relates to what we're talking about today, when he says, my relationship is as strong or is as weak as I want it to be. And he's talking about with Jesus. Because Jesus never moves, I'm always the one who decides how strong it is. Jesus is constant. He's steadfast. And you just mentioned this a little bit ago, Doug, about, you know, we're the one who is running around, maybe thinking of other things or don't have Christ on our mind. He's always there. Mm-hmm. He's always waiting for us. And it's important for us to go to him.
Yeah, and you know that talks about that wall that gets built up, right? And so I think that's what Daniel was referring to when he says, hey, it's as strong or as weak as I want it to be. It's like, how much am I going to build that wall up that's going to separate me and Christ versus, hey, when I ask for forgiveness and I'm repentant and I'm in the scripture, then that wall gets broken down and I feel closer to Christ. And you are closer to Christ.
Right.
How often have you, Remy, felt that you were running from Christ, you were running away from him, and he was reaching for you and he was coming for you, but maybe you weren't ready for him, or maybe you thought that you weren't worthy at the time, and then he reached out to you and you were there. How did that develop?
You know, it's funny when he was saying it's all up to you, and when you're ready you can just accept him and say it with your mouth that you want him. But do you know how many times I was in church when I was younger, and every time the preacher says, just accept him and confess and just repeat after me. And do you know how many times I repeated that? Like millions of times. And I would just stand there and be like, oh, here it is. Like I thought something was going to happen. You know what I mean? I was going to say
the Holy
it.
Spirit was
something's going to drop on top of my head and I'm going to be like, boom, saved. You know, it doesn't work that way. It really does not, especially for someone that isn't ready. You have to be ready for that moment. You have to actually genuinely want that moment for it to happen. You can't just be like, oh yeah, well the guy is saying like I should repeat this after him and like something is going to magically appear. It doesn't work that way. And it's actually very simple, guys. There are no steps other than you have to prepare your heart and you have to genuinely seek him with everything, with every fiber of your being.
Genuine.
You have to be genuine about it. Mm-hmm. Because when I was genuine about it, I was in my living room. There was no preacher. There was nobody around except me, my sister on the phone praying for me, and that's it. That's just how it happened. Like, it's just boom, yeah. Done. Like, there was nobody pressuring me to do anything. It's just, that's just how it happened. So you have to be genuine and openly accepting and openly wanting Jesus in your heart. That's how this happens.
Well, the second part, what you just said, is you're going to seek after him. And when the Bible says right. You become a new creation, you're going to seek after things that are of Christ. So you have to turn away from your old past. And again, going back to last week's episode with squad goals, we need to, maybe change the people that we're running with, change the activities, the lifestyle behaviors that we're associated with. So we actually become a new creation
right.
in Christ, and you start to see the fruit. And I guess that's right. the big piece. So if you're ever wondering, wow, I've said that prayer multiple times,
right.
But I'm not really sure, then you need to check yourself a little bit and see if you are exhibiting some
heart?
Of the pieces of the blueprint that the Bible has for
right.
you, and are you exhibiting fruit in your life? And, a lot of times people do good things. They could serve in church, and they could be a church, and they could be an usher, or they could help out in the nursery, and they could do different things of service. But the intention to serve doesn't make you saved, right? Like even the acts of service doesn't make you saved.
It does not.
It's the life that you're living.
It can't be earned. We go back to that.
We do that. We talk about that all the time. And I have a friend that recently accepted Christ that had been in the church for years.
Yeah.
And served in the church for years, but was still
living. Oh, see, I'm good with God, right?
Right.
I'm good with God. I'm
good
doing
with
all
God.
This. I'm okay.
But he used the term double-mindedness and living a double life to
right.
where I have God. I'm doing all of these great things. I'm serving in church. I'm in church every Sunday,
right.
and I'm doing all of these things. However, I'm still living in sin. I'm still
right.
doing things that are of my own will
right.
and of the world, and it was ruining his life. And he never realized the fact that I didn't think I couldn't be saved. Right, because I've said that prayer multiple times, and I'm in church. But the problem was that no, man, you haven't given your life over to Christ
right.
to allow Him to work through you to have the fruit become. You have negative fruit that's out there because sinful fruit,
right.
right? And that's the problem. Just look for that.
Which we all do. We're always the ones on the go. Sometimes running away from Jesus, but He's always there, always constant, always ready for us. Daniel says, when I want to get to know my wife, I speak to my wife. I communicate with my
right.
wife, and I try to understand her characteristics, which we goes back to what we're talking about, communication. When I want to know and understand Jesus more, I go to His living word, the Bible, and I learn about Him and learn His characteristics. And that's so essential. How do we build that relationship with our wives, our significant others? Through communication. Same with Jesus. Read His word, talk to Him, be in prayer. And Daniel mentions how Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. And how often do we guys get that wrong? We really do. In the Old Testament, the only way that people could be right with God is through sacrificing an animal, because God was holy, and He couldn't accept sinful people. God is holy, not was holy, is holy, always will be holy. And the animal's blood covered the people's sin. God also gave the people a lot of specific laws that they had to follow. That was the law, the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. But in Romans 8, Paul explains that what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, in the new covenant, Jesus came as the perfect, the final sacrifice. And it's His holy blood that doesn't just cover our sins. It really purifies us. It makes us holy too. So instead of this long list of religious rules that we think we have to abide by, we have God's Holy Spirit through a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, which we've talked about in depth a few episodes back. He's our guide for how to live. I want to thank all our listeners, our followers. Big thanks to our guest today, Daniel Murphy. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does to make us present better. Jim Henderson, thank you for all the fantastic work behind the scenes he does for us. Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. Thank you. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you to 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Pastor Kyle, Doug Hoare, and N. Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.